He gave thanks, mainly. Not just ate, but, you know, so often we take for granted a lot of stuff. One, it don't take long to not take it for granted when something befalls you, like your health or something like that. But well, I'll tell you, it's just God's placed upon my heart to just count your blessings. You know, you begin to be amazed when you go, hey, yeah, look at there. Got a show of hands up here, no pun intended. Our Christmas party's coming up. Good time will be had by all. Y'all know that. It is December 3rd. It says it's for grown-ups, but I think we can attend too. The $5 gift is a hoax. You can't buy anything for $5, you know? So, prayer requests. I don't know of anything else on there. The young lady over here with the older gentleman. Amen. Yep. Amen. I wrote Liz Tanner's gone home, but we understand what we were talking about. Okay. Treva, did you go park the car for him? Mike, did you make her let you out at the door? It's just too cold, was it? All right. Man. All right. Hey, before you go leave out, my truck's way down there. Would you go get it for me before we... The young lady in the back. And you have what? Test. You were swirling your candy around and I didn't get test out of it, okay? Go spit it out. Feeling pretty good today. Others? Yes, ma'am. Yes. Remember Judy's son, Tim, and all of our military for that matter. I asked Jerry Forte if they celebrated Thanksgiving, you know, being from New York. I didn't know if they did that or not, but he did. He said they did, so. Bob, did you have something? Okay. Hey. Just stick it under the chair like everybody else does, all right? Y'all don't sit there anyway, do you? Okay, yeah, there you go, yeah. There you go, all right, all right. Anybody else? Yeah. And you have what? Unspoken, okay. Oh, okay. I see. I didn't get that, sorry. I was busy writing down. Okay. Anybody else? Tim. Yes. Man. Else? Once? Twice? David, you want to stand and lead us, please, sir? Thank you. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, David. Well, we're going to start a series of lessons on Christmas time. I've been teaching these for about 4 years now, and each year that I teach them, I get more and more stuff out of it. I found stuff studying for this lesson, the first lesson, that I didn't see before. God just hadn't revealed it, but... We'll do a series of four lessons the next 4 weeks coming up to the Christmas day. We won't have Sunday school Christmas day, so I backed everything up. Today we're going to talk about the time of Christ's coming. Then we'll talk about His lineage of how He deserved the royal priesthood as well as the birthright. And then we'll talk about the actual birthplace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as foretold in the Scriptures. And then one of the important things that we hang all of our doctrine on is the virgin birth and how important that is. So in the next 4 weeks, I hope you'll plan to be here and you just purpose it in your heart to be here to get out of these lessons. You know, the Holy Spirit enables us to believe this stuff, but when we see it and we get it in our minds, it just fortifies us. You know, it allows us to maybe go out and witness to someone and say, no, that this is true. That it does work this way, and it's not just a spiritual thing, but it's also a physical thing. That these things physically happen. Now, we know through Jewish historians that a man named Jesus walked the face of the earth. That he was born, that he was crucified. He said that he was a prophet as supposed. So we know that he was just as much here as someone like George Washington or even, you know, Ronald Reagan. I mean, we know these people were here. We have men that documented it in eyewitness accounts. You know, Peter said, hey, we were eyewitnesses of this stuff. I'm telling you, we saw it. So, as we start off, I just wanted to get the time of Christ as to when they would be seeing His coming. We all stand around today and say, He's coming back, don't we? We don't always live that way, but we say, we know He's coming back. Boy, the time is right, isn't it? Isn't that our conversation? Man, everything's done. It's ready to be back. A couple of things that I want to preface this with is y'all do understand that nobody really knows what time it is. You understand that? The Mayan calendar is going to run out next year. They're not who dictates what time it is.
Amen.
Okay? Either they run out of stone tablets or something, but that has no bearing on what God's doing, okay? They don't have an inside track. The Chinese have their own calendar. The Romans came in and established the calendar, and as they got going with it, they got 10 years or so into it and realized that their calendar was off. But they left it alone. They just agreed to, hey, here's what we're going to do and we're going to go forward. You understand that Jesus was not born in 0 A.D. Herod the Great was he was head over Judea, and we know that historically he died in 4 B.C. Now Herod's the one that went to Bethlehem and said, kill all the children. So we know that Christ was alive when Herod was still alive, okay? So we know that he was at least born 4 B.C. or maybe just a shade before that. Just historically, we know that by Herod. So, if the numbers are wrong, it's us. It's not God. Everybody with me on that? If the numbers, you know, you go, that number doesn't, it's us that doesn't have it right. God's got it all worked out. It's His plan. Now, there are no numbers. There's no date setting or anything like that for His return to start the for the rapture. When the rapture happens, then the tribulation period starts. There's no date setting for that, and there's reason for that. We have all the dates in the world for the Jewish people. They're God's people in this earth, okay? The church is not of this world. Everybody with me? So there's no dates for what God's doing. The church was supernaturally empowered into this world, and it'll be supernaturally taken out with the rapture. Everybody got that? That's where we're at with it. So the church has been inserted into God's timeline, and the timeline's been extended, okay? So the timeline would look something like that. There we go. The timeline would be this. Daniel was a prophet of God in the Old Testament, and we'll go through some of this stuff and explain it. Look with me, if you will, in Daniel chapter number 9. After we pray, Daniel chapter 9. Lord God, I thank You for, Lord, this time that we could be in Your house, Lord, that we could look into Your Word, Lord, that we could study, Lord, that You would open up things to us that maybe we weren't aware of, or Lord, just through Your Word that we would be fortified. Lord, that it would just, Lord, it would just give us zeal to go out and witness and say, look, this is a real thing You're doing here. And Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we thank You for the prophets of old. Lord, mostly we thank You for Christ Jesus, who did come and die on a cross, but Lord, He rose from the dead and defeated death and the grave. Lord, that we would live forever. Lord, thank You again for this time. Lord, I pray that You teach, Lord, through me in Christ's name. Amen. So Daniel chapter 9, verse number 2 says that in the first year of His reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the numbers of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was taken out by the Babylonians. Babylonians was the first great world empire. The city of Babylon was 15 square miles. Get that in your head, 15 square miles. The walls of the city were 87 feet thick. But that's not the wow. They were 350 feet high. How in the world could you take down such an empire? God took it down. Babylonians are no longer the world empire. World empires rose and fell, just like America's done. Get ready. You know? But Babylon was the first great world empire. The book of Daniel is written in two different languages. Chapters 1 through 8 are written in Aramaic, which was the language of the people. It was the language of the court. And this first part was written for the Gentiles. That's why chapters 1 through 8 are written in Aramaic. Chapters 9 on is written in Hebrew because it's written for the Jewish people. Okay? You got that mindset. I tell you, every time when you study your Bible, you want to know who's doing the talking, who are they talking to, and what are they talking about. That way you don't take anything out of context. Everything is kept right in perspective, okay? So, chapter 9 starts in the Hebrew language because, again, it deals with the children of Israel. So chapter 9 starts out, Daniel says, through studying the Old Testament prophets, I come to understand about the 70 weeks. He was reading Jeremiah. He says here, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Israel was a sinful people. They disobeyed God, and God sent punishment to them. They were taken in captivity. Jerusalem was torn down. Now, just some brief Bible history. Nehemiah said, you know, why is it that I'm living here and I'm living good, yet my city walls are torn down? He went to the king and he said, hey, can I go back and build the city? The king said, you know what? I'll do that. I'll put the money into it. You go and you rebuild your city. So there was a decree sent out in 446 B.C. We see that right here in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1 is where Nehemiah went to the king and said, can I do this? And the king said, yes, go do it. Okay? So this weeks that we're talking about is actually hepads, which means 70-year periods. Okay? It's not 7 years, but 70 or 7 year periods. So it's a 70-year It's a 70-year deal. We know that it took 49 years, which would be 7 times 7, took 49 years to rebuild the city. The decree was sent out not to rebuild the temple, because in Ezra that's stated, but to rebuild the city. So Nehemiah gets that done in 446 B.C., and they start to rebuild the city. It takes them 49 years. Now, let's read in Daniel chapter number 9. Look in verse 20. Daniel says, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Then I want to stop here just a second because there's so much going on here. Daniel begins to pray and confess his sins. And not only his sins, but the sins of his people. We see in the book of Job, we always go fast forward to get to the conversation between Satan and God about Job. But the best part of Job is the first part of the chapter where Job says that he got up every morning and he offered up sacrifices, not just for himself, but for his children in case they sinned against God. So what was the first thing that when God allowed Satan to do something against Job, what's the first thing he did to Satan or to Job? Everybody says, oh, he killed his children. That's not what he did. Who came and reported to him? His herdsmen. Because the first thing he did was taken all of his animals. Why would he do that? Because, see, every morning Job got up and he offered animal sacrifices so that he could get right with God. Satan took his ability away from Job to get right with God. That threw the whole thing out of kilter. Job was out of good standing with God because he couldn't offer up his sin debt. And now Satan's got him. Now it's a mess. That's the best part of Job. Man, we skip through and we don't see what he really did. But here he says he was praying and confessing his sins. I love this part. He says, when he started praying, God sent Gabriel down there. It says he flew pretty swiftly. He said, before I even got good into my prayer, there Gabriel was. Now, I don't know how they fly or how, I guess pretty fast. I don't know how much ground he had to cover. But it says he flew swiftly and he touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Verse 22 says, "And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Now therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And thereafter, 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of war of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week." So Daniel gets this vision from God. Gabriel comes down and delivers it. And he says, here's what's going to take place. There's going to be 70 weeks. It's going to be broken down in three different sections. One is going to be the rebuilding of the city. The other is going to be a time until Messiah is cut off. And then there's going to be one set left. He says in verse 25, he says, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks." Okay? So to rebuild the city, it took them 7 week periods. 7 week periods times 7 is 49 years. So it took them from the time that the decree was sent out, it took them 49 years. Now we understand that as it says here, in, at the end of verse 25, it says that the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. We know through the book of Nehemiah that Nehemiah said they did what? They held a trowel in one hand and they held a sword in the other because they had to fight at any minute while they was building it. That's prophecy, y'all. He said, there's going to be troublous times while they're working on it. Malachi even makes mention of the troublous times. So he says that there's going to be this time of rebuilding the city, which would be 49 years. So the city is rebuilt. It's complete. That's 7 of the weeks, okay? So now there's 63 left. But hang on, he says that Messiah will be cut off and then there'll be 1 week left. So we're really dealing with 62 weeks right in here. So you got 7 weeks, 62 weeks. So we got 69 weeks between this time and Messiah being cut off, okay? We know that Jesus, by doing the math, was crucified somewhere around 30 A.D., somewhere between his 33rd and 34th birthday. Now, I said again, I wish the Huffs were here today for more reasons than just my example, but Gene Huff is a leap year baby. He's like 17. He only has a birthday every 4 years. You understand how messed up our calendar is? That every fourth year, we have 29 days in February? You know, I mean, come on. So there's what's called prophetic years or calendar years. And I've showed you that down here. The Roman calendar is 365 and a quarter days a year. That's what it's set up on. The prophetic years are actually 360 days. When creation was originally done in the book of Genesis, we go over there and see that it was 12 equal months of 30 days. That's how it was set up. So you have 360 days in a year. When we go to the Revelation, Revelation 11:3 will tell you that 3.5 years is 1260 days. They spell it out. They say it's 1,260 days or 3.5 years. So we know that the prophetic calendar is 360 days. So we've got 7 weeks and 62 weeks, which make up the 69 weeks when Messiah is cut off. Look there, he kind of explains it in verse 25. He says, "The going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And 3 weeks, or excuse me, 62 weeks, the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks, which a score is 20, so you got 62 weeks, be 62 weeks that Messiah will be cut off. So here, after these 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. I was talking to Scott this morning, and we'll get into the wise men at some point in these lessons. But the wise men, and I told my wife this morning, we put the adjective on there, wise, because they studied the Old Testament Scriptures. They did the math. They showed up and said, "We've seen His star in the east." Whose star? The one prophesied in the Old Testament. These were Gentiles that had studied the Word of God and said, "Hey, we know who this is, that He's here." They were looking for Him. I started off this morning saying, everybody pretty well sure that the rapture's getting close? Kind of feels that way, doesn't it? Things are kind of going on. They've been going on for quite a while. 434 years since the city was completed. You think people weren't scoffing? You know, America hadn't been around that long. Think of how far we've come from a country built on the foundations of the truth of the Word of God to the mess we've made it today in a shorter period of time than what they did. So you can see that more than likely there were scoffers beyond belief. They showed up, the wise men showed up in Jerusalem, and the priests didn't even understand what they were talking about. "Hey, we're here. Have you got the king in the palace?" They showed up in Jerusalem. They didn't go to Bethlehem. They showed up in Jerusalem because they said, "Surely, y'all know that the king has been born, and y'all brought him to the palace, and you've just arrayed him with all kinds of treasures. Herod said, "No, but if you'll tell me where he's at, I'll go worship him too." Right? Yeah? The wise men showed up in Jerusalem and said, "This is the capital city. Which wing do y'all have the king in? We're here to worship him." And they said, "Has he been born? We didn't know that." Daniel said he began to study the books of the Old Testament and figured it out. And then God gave him that, "Hey, it's actually going to be not 7 years, but 7 times 70 years to get all the years in this." And again, we have people today that say, "Yeah, I thought he was coming back. I thought Jesus was going to come back." So the people who had the Old Testament can say, "All right, the decree was sent out in 446. The city was completed right here." Man, they just start marking off the days. Now, by Jewish law, a young man became a full-grown man and started his ministry at the age of 30. Like I told my wife, let's say they don't know that he's going to live 33 and a half years. Let's say he's going to live to be, as the psalmist says, 72. Within 50 years, they kind of figure, "Hey, here's where we're at." Most all of us have already experienced that length of time, maybe except for Kim, about 50 years. I mean, at some point, we can all say, "Hey, it's getting real close," if they kept up with the Scriptures. But people begin to just live their lives and do away with it, you know. If he's really coming back, why do we have enough seats in this auditorium? If you really believe that, if you really believe he's coming back. When we used to go off to rodeos here and there. We'd get done at the rodeo and everybody would want to go to the bar. We had designated drivers back then, we just didn't know it. I just sat in the truck and sleep. I believed Jesus was coming back and I didn't want to be in there when He showed up. You know? Come wake me up in the truck, I'm out there. I just got to where I wouldn't go in. I don't have any business in there, I'll just stay out here. Y'all go ahead and do what you're going to do. When y'all get done, crawl in the back and I'll take us to the next one. If we really believe He's coming back, we'd be living different. There were scoffers that said, you know, it's been too long. Malachi was written in about 430 B.C. It's the last time anyone heard from God. So for about a little over 400 years, and then the New Testament began to being written about 50 A.D., so for about 450 years, nobody mentions anything from God. You know, before we had men of old that stood up and boldly said, God told me to tell you all this. I mean, look at Jonah. God said, go to Nineveh and tell them that they're sinning. I'm not going to do that. And he ran from God. He said, I need you to go tell them. He told Moses, Moses, I need you to go over and talk to the most powerful man in the world and tell him that I'm going to take half of his people and half of his economy and they're leaving. That's what God told Moses to go do back in Egypt. Moses said, you want me to go talk to Pharaoh? I don't talk very well. Get Aaron to go do it. No. God said, I need you to go tell them that they're not doing right. So we have the 69 weeks. And then Messiah is cut off. So we see that, look in verse 26, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. What a prophecy. He was cut off for us. I asked my son yesterday, we were traveling back, and I said, what does that mean, cut off? And he said, he was crucified. I said, yeah, that's right. That's exactly what happened, that he was cut off. He was taken away. Verse 26 starts to get a little messy here. He says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Messiah is cut off. We're not talking about Jesus Christ anymore. He's been cut off. He was buried, rose again, and ascended into heaven. So Messiah is cut off. It says, and the people of the prince that shall come. That prince that shall come is the Antichrist. That's who's been being talked about here. In my lifetime, you guys will all think about this too, just about every dignitary that we've had in the United States, the one that really comes to mind is always Jimmy Carter. He's always going to the Middle East and he's trying to do the peace talks. Right? He's trying to get peace between Israel and the Arab nations. Not just him, but we've had a number of dignitaries. Somebody's going to get that done. Somebody is going to get peace between these people. The prince that shall come. He's going to destroy the city. And all manner of things, and the end thereof shall be a flood. We know that Israel fought against the Roman Empire twice. In 135 A.D., Rome finally snuffed them out and dispersed them everywhere. It's called the dispersion. So we know that the Messiah was cut off in 70 A.D., or I'm sorry, in 30 A.D. In 70 A.D., the temple was torn down. It's very significant. For 1,500 years, the Jews brought animal sacrifices to the temple. For 1,500 years, this was their way of life. Jesus comes and He says, I am that sacrifice. The picture that y'all were doing was just a picture. We did Vacation Bible School this summer. I'm still in awe of what I learned at Vacation Bible School. Those people that had died before Christ paid their sin debt on the cross. I've always been told all my life their sin debt was pushed forward. It was pushed forward. It was pushed forward. Animal sacrifices can never atone for our sins. Then I just thought they went to heaven when they died. But they couldn't go to heaven until Jesus Christ died on the cross. They went into paradise in the center of the earth. And they just stood around, I guess, saying, one day God's going to send the Messiah. One day God's going to send the Messiah. Matter of fact, in 69 weeks, He's going to send the Messiah. They knew that the Messiah was coming just by virtue of doing mathematics. Messiah comes, He's cut off. He's crucified, He dies, they put Him in the tomb, He goes down to paradise, and He proclaims victory. And all those people, I'm sure, shouted and hollered, hallelujah. And He took those captive, took them to heaven. All those who believe that pushed their sin debt forward, when He finally did it, He took them into heaven. Then the temple was torn down in 70 A.D., the whole temple, not a stone left on top of each other. And from 70 A.D. until today, the Jews haven't been able to offer animal sacrifices. They changed their theology a little bit, and they got some other deals going. But one day, they're going to start those sacrifices again. They're going to set it up and begin to do it again. But in 70 A.D., the temple was torn down. In 135 A.D., finally, when Israel raised up against Rome, Rome squished them and sent them out everywhere, scattered them around. Verse 26 says, "And the end thereof shall be with a flood." Those people just scattered everywhere, just like a flood. "And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined." God sent Jesus Christ here to earth. He was called the Prince of Peace. Creation killed the Creator. Only God would allow that to happen. And there's never been peace since then. The last survey I got was 1995. There were at least 40 wars going on somewhere around the world all at one time. Since 30 A.D., no peace. Absolutely no peace. So verse 27 starts right here. So there's a gap in here, and that gap is the church age. I said before, we have a timeline for the Jews. But God supernaturally imposed the church age in here, and we don't know how long that's going to last. We don't know. We just know that we need to be ready. So the church age is placed in the middle here, and there's still 1 week left. There's going to be 70 weeks. 69 of them have already happened. The rebuilding of the temple, the rebuilding of the city. Messiah is cut off. 69 weeks. And then there's 1 week left. And we understand that when God supernaturally takes out the church age, that 1 week will start. Look in verse 27. "And He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, He shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." So the church age is inserted here. Again, we don't know how long it's going to last. But that's the difference in the last week. The last 7 years. Tribulation period will be 7 years. He says, in the midst of it, the 3.5 years, there it is, 3.5 years, everything's going to be hunky-dory. When you see the pictures of Israel, the one building that really stands out to you is the Golden Dome, right? Now understand that that's the Temple Mount, and that's the Muslim sanctuary. That's what's setting on the Temple Mount. Now, they've already started rebuilding all the furniture that goes into God's temple. They're getting everything ready because at some point, somebody's going to come forward and is going to get peace between them. Now, I've got my own kooky ideas. I almost wasn't going to impose them upon you, but I will. There's going to be a supernatural event take place, I think quite possibly in our lifetime. We're going to be raptured out. We're going to be supernaturally sucked up into the sky to meet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every born-again believer that believes in the death, burial, and resurrection and the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ is going to be taken out. Can you imagine what that's going to do, not just physically, but how about the economy of this world? Right? It's going to be a mess. People are going to have to try and explain, hey, you know, where did David go? He was here. He used to talk about some crazy stuff. Man, what happened? He's gone. Somebody is going to be charismatic enough to step forward and say, I got it. Here's what happened. Understand, the Pope will be able to do that. The Pope will be able to say, hey, calm down, the church is still here. Right? What happened at 9/11? Boy, we just couldn't get enough chairs in here. Uh-oh, something's up. Hit the church. Right? I remember Desert Storm. Me and my little family, we was in Northern California when it hit. We had our Bible with us. Boy, we hunkered down in a little old cabin up there on Lake Shasta. And we are studying the Word now. Is this it? Yeah? Man, don't ask me. I can't read Revelation. But somebody's going to be able to step forward. I told y'all last year, and everybody had a good laugh at me, the United Nations assigned a secretary to the extraterrestrials. We pay for that. Y'all testifying? It happened, didn't it? Isn't that funny? But somebody's going to be able to say, hang on, I got an explanation for all this. I think this morning we sent a spaceship to Mars. Trying to see if the little Martians are still around. They may be the ones headed for us. I don't know. Mankind's trying to come up with something. Lord knows we don't want to say it's God. Let's come up with something. Somebody's going to be charismatic enough to step forward and say, everybody calm down. Here's what happened. Here's what's going on. Everything's under control. Jews, y'all come on over here to the Temple Mount. Y'all start your sacrifices again. Woo, Jews are happy. Everybody's happy with the Jews. Let's play. And for 3.5 years, that's going to go on. The temple sacrifices will start. Everything will be hunky-dory in the world. And for three and a half years, look in verse 27 says, in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. So this Antichrist is going to let it go on for half the time, and then he's going to shut it down. And he's going to put his image there, and they're going to have to bow down and worship him. I'll tell you that those that are left here, when we're raptured out, they can just get out their calendar, get out their old felt tip marker, and start X-ing off the days. It's just 7 years. Well, 3.5 years will be fun. You get to that 3.5 month deal there, get ready. Well, you think Y2K was something. Get ready for that one. Look in Matthew chapter 24. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is talking here. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15 says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever read it, let him understand. Then let them that is in Judea flee into the mountains. Let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. He says tribulation is going to be bad time. So in the midst of it, the Antichrist is going to take down all the animal sacrifices, and he's going to put himself in there, and it's going to be 3.5 years. Who'd have thought it? Then we see the Battle of Armageddon in Revelation 19, where Jesus Christ and all of us who were raptured out return back to see the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus Christ was who he said he was. He was born in the time that the Old Testament prophesied. We have such intricate details of his crucifixion, his life, the things that were recorded. We have the same thing of his birth. A mess of Gentiles showed up in Jerusalem and said, based on the Old Testament scriptures, we know he's here. Herod said, wow, good. Tell us where he's at and we'll go worship him too. Everybody had given up on it. The priests in Jerusalem didn't have a clue. Now, the Levitican priests who watched their flocks by night, they had a clue. They ended up having a clue when they said, go and we'll worship him. They knew right where he was at. They knew exactly where to go. But they didn't think about the time. We have it. I'll tell you again that ignorance of the law is no excuse, right? It's in here. We just got to look into it and study it. Next week we'll talk about the lineage of Christ, how and who is connected to have Him here in a fleshly body. And it's very significant and very important that we understand that. You know, why do we have all the begots and begots and begots in the book of Matthew and in Luke? What, you know, skip all that. Let's get down to the birth of Christ. No, we don't skip all that. It was significant to be in there. We'll learn about that next week. Lord, thank you again for the time, Lord, in your word. Father, I pray that, Lord, it just intrigues people to want to look in and study more. Father, to see your face. Lord, we pray that it fortifies us. Lord, that at this time of year, Lord, that Jesus be the reason for the season, but that we talk that as well. Lord, we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.